I was speaking at a conference, just last week, and I was speaking with a bunch of defense lawyers and prosecutors. And many of the prosecutors said that they do take an admission of guilt, but it is not part of the court proceeding. It's in the internal file of the prosecutor's office because the judge wants to know that's there to satisfy the rule to be able to use a pretrial diversion. But now that they know the consequences, they never make it part of the official record. So it's always good to talk to locally, to talk to your bar associations, either the criminal defense bar or even your prosecutors, so that they understand the intricacies of what these consequences are, especially now that they're changing a lot.
Right. So in here in Bexar County, we have a new district attorney, and that was one of the things that he was approached with was we need to have a pretrial diversion program that is actually an option for non-citizens, right? That is not going to just put them in the same situation as if they did deferred adjudication. Vacated convictions and pardons. If a conviction is vacated, not on the merits, it's still a conviction for immigration purposes. So that's why, like, deferred adjudication, right? You do everything you're supposed to do, and then the charge gets dismissed. Well, that doesn't ever go away for immigration purposes. And so the only, and, you know, there's all different kinds of pardons, like governors can issue pardons for crimes. That is not going to make the crime go away for immigration purposes. So what is a sentence? A sentence includes confinement, but it can be community service, it can be doing classes. When you are looking at a sentence of imprisonment, it is what is written on the paper. It does not matter if the whole thing is suspended. And in Texas, it is extremely common to see someone sentenced to 2 years, but that sentence is suspended for community for 2 years or sometimes more of community supervision, of probation. The sentence of confinement is 2 years. So the only way you, if you have somebody where you can't, let's say it's a theft offense, an aggravated felony is a theft offense with a sentence of imprisonment of 1 year or more. So if you cannot get the prosecutor to agree to 364, maybe you can get them to agree to 5 years of probation. That's not a sentence of imprisonment. But if you do 5 years suspended for 5 years probation, that's a death sentence for your client. So you have to look at very carefully at what the record of conviction says. And this is another instance where you cannot rely on what your client says. Yeah, I was convicted for shoplifting, but you know, I just had to pay a fine and I did probation for like 6 months. You need to see what that judgment actually says.
And this is one place where a deferred adjudication can actually help you, because what we do know and what is established case law is that a deferred adjudication is never a sentence to confinement. So there may be a situation where you do want to take deferred because that's going to eliminate the consequences of aggravated felonies that are based on length of time and sentence.
And another good trick that is still available, but we shall see, depending on this, one of the latest certifications, is just modifying the sentence. So under matter of song, you could go back after the fact and modify the sentence. So say you had somebody who did have, a 365 sentence for a theft offense. If you can convince the criminal court to, and a lot of times the DAs don't care if the person already did what they were supposed to do, a lot of times they will agree to reopen the case and just modify the sentence to 364 days. Then it's not an aggravated felony anymore. I think that the certification indicates that we're probably going to see an attempt on pushing back that as well, but sometimes just modifying the length of a sentence or if it's straight probation or a suspended or, you know, prison suspended over a period of time can be a fix. Again, admissions, admitting criminal conduct for the grounds of inadmissibility can be sufficient, but it is not a Border Patrol agent saying, hey, were you convicted of shoplifting? They have to actually explain all the elements of the offense to your client, and there has to be a knowing admission of each element, and that does not generally happen.
And that's true in an admissibility context, both in adjustment of status cases and also in consular processing. There has to be a knowing admission of the facts.
So I think an example is smoking pot. So if an officer says, have you ever smoked pot? And the person answers yes, that is not necessarily an admission of an offense, because is smoking pot a crime?
No.
No. Possessing pot is a crime. Dealing pot is a crime. It is possible to smoke pot without holding it.